telling you this so you won't worry about Thor. She thought about her Aunt Stacy. I'm sure Bay will be good with Kit and Stacy. They have a nice house and a yard. Uncle Kit's really fun, and Aunt Stacy is super smart. She's going to cure MS or maybe help people with MS have less symptoms. I'm never sure when she talks about her work. She hugged Jazz. I get it. Even though you know everyone is okay, you're going to miss your friends, though, aren't you? I so get that. I miss Kaylee, but she's off having fun with her new friends. You should see what she posts on Instagram all the time. Becca waved her hands in the air. Look at me! Look at me! Jazz's steady gaze never wavered. Becca dropped her arms to her side. You have no idea who I'm talking about, do you? She said with a sigh. Sorry. She thought briefly of pulling out her phone and showing Jazz the videos, then told herself the dog still wouldn't care. Because this was all new to Jazz, and no matter how well trained she was, she had to be scared. I remember the first night my dad left, Becca admitted in a low voice, as she sat on the floor and continued to pet the dog. I was crying. My mom was crying. My grandmother kept asking my mom what she'd done wrong. It was horrible. Uncle Kit and Aunt Stacy had just gotten married and were on their honeymoon, so she wasn't here. Becca sighed. I don't know if anyone's told you this, but Great-Aunt Cheryl is gone. She was really old, and she died. She shifted so she sat directly in front of Jazz. I promise I will always take care of you, Jazz. I'll be here. I have to go to school and stuff, but then I'll come home. You belong here now, with me. She smiled. I always wanted a dog, but Mom said we couldn't because Dad was allergic. After the drive home, I guess he really is. Anyway, I want you to know I'm going to take care of you. I have the book of instructions Great Aunt Cheryl left me. I'll get copies to Stacy and Lucas. You have to believe in me, okay? I'm going to be here. I'm not going to die like Great Aunt Cheryl, and I'm not going to leave you like my dad. Tears unexpectedly formed. Becca brushed them away. It was one thing to be upset about the dogs, but she refused to cry over the divorce. It had been 2 years, and she should be over it. At least that was what everyone else seemed to think. She knew, compared to some of her friends, she had it easy. She wasn't shuffled from house to house, and she didn't have to deal with a bunch of new stepbrothers and sisters. In fact, she rarely saw her father. He was too busy with his new life and Alicia.
How's it going?
She looked up as Lucas walked into the living room, then leaned her head against Jazz. We're still getting to know each other. It's only been a couple of days, so Jazz is a little scared.
Sure.
He sat in a club chair across the room.
There's been a lot of change. How are you holding up?
She glanced at him and rolled her eyes. Why are you asking? You know I'm mad at my mom.
Yes, I do. Want to tell me why?
She didn't know what it was about Lucas, but she could always talk to him. Maybe it was because he didn't speak to her like she was a kid. He treated her as if she were a regular person with thoughts and opinions and feelings. When she'd first met him, she'd wondered if he was one of those creepy old guys she and her friends were always being warned about. One of her friends had a stepdad who'd tried to touch her, which was horrible and disgusting. But Lucas wasn't like that. He was nice. He listened, and when he was around, her mom was a lot calmer. Becca had even gotten used to the really young girlfriends. Some of them were complete airheads, but a few had given her some fashion advice. Still, what was with naming your kid Persimmon? She always says no, Becca grumbled, remembering the question. I begged for a dog forever, and she said it was because of my dad. Then he moved out and she still said no. Great Aunt Cheryl left the dogs to me in her will. They're mine. Mom should respect that. Lucas didn't say anything, but then he didn't have to. She squirmed slightly. Jazz gave her a quick lick on her cheek before flopping to the floor. Becca sprawled out next to her and held her paw in her hand. Fine, Becca said with a sigh. Three dogs would be a lot, and I've never taken care of a dog before. She glared at him. There are instructions in the book, and I've been reading them. I know how much they eat and when they have to be walked. I'm going to take care of Jazz. I'll feed her and play with her and pick up after her. She shuddered as she thought of the volume of poop the three dogs had generated over the past couple of days. Gross? Didn't come close. But everything had a price. I'll even clean up the yard. I'm going to be a good dog mom. You'll see.
Sounds like you have a plan.
I do, she sat up. Are you really taking Thor?
I am. He'll be spending his days here while I'm at work, so Jazz won't be alone.
Does Mom know?
I'll tell her after dinner.
Becca chuckled. Thanks. She can't tell you no, and there's no way she can watch Thor and make me get rid of Jazz. So thank you.
That wasn't my master plan, but it does seem to solve a lot of problems.
He reached into his jacket pocket and pulled out a DVD case, then handed it to her. Becca looked at the cover and laughed. You didn't. 16 Candles. Thanks, Lucas. You know it's my favorite.
I do know.
Becca had a thing for the 80s. The clothes, the overstyled hair. How on earth did anyone ever wear leg warmers? But Madonna's music was great, and the John Hughes movies were always fun to watch.
Come on, Lucas said as he rose. Bay and Thor are playing outside. Jazz should be with them to get the kinks out from her long drive down.
Okay. Becca turned to her dog. Come on, Jazz. Let's go in the backyard. The slim, muscled dog rose and stretched, then walked at Becca's side. Becca stroked her head and ears. She was all Jazz had now. I'll be here, she told the dog. You can depend on me. Because she knew all about what it was like to be an afterthought. And she never wanted Jazz to feel that way. Stacy arrived at her office shortly after 7 Monday morning. On days Kit had to get to school, their mornings were less leisurely, and they both liked to be at the office early. Except for dinner at Harper's, they'd spent Easter Sunday getting Bay acclimated to her new home. Stacy had lost her nerve again and didn't tell her mom about her pregnancy, rationalizing that she didn't want to monopolize everyone's attention on the holiday. She and Kit had taken Bay on 2 long walks so she could get familiar with the neighborhood. Stacy had read up on pregnant dogs and had researched veterinarians in the office, while Kit had installed a doggy door so Bay could come and go as she liked during the day. Bay was exceptionally well-behaved. She'd slept in her dog bed in their room and had eaten. According to all Stacy had read, the dog seemed to be adjusting. Stacy reviewed the latest test results from their new research direction. Proteins were an obvious area to investigate, but narrowing down exactly which ones and how they reacted was the tedious challenge. Still, progress was being made. Morning! Stacy looked up as her assistant, Lexi, walked into her office. Lexi, a tall redhead in her mid-30s, placed a mug on Stacy's desk. Herbal tea, she said with a grin, in case you were hoping I was going to slip you a little caffeine. You'd never do that, Stacy said with a smile. You always take excellent care of me. How was your weekend? Good. Busy. The Easter Bunny did his thing on Sunday morning. Oh, Sam fell out of a tree, which had me sweating a broken arm, but he's fine. Still, what is it with kids and trees? It's not like the trees climb all over them. It's a tree. Leave it alone. Stacy wanted to say that Lexi could simply tell her son not to climb trees, only she knew that advice would not be welcome. She wasn't sure if it was all children or simply Lexi's, but hers didn't listen very well. Her assistant was bright and capable. As she frequently did, Stacy thought it was a shame that Lexi hadn't gone to college. She could have been successful in many different areas. Not that she wasn't an excellent assistant. She was. But with 3 kids to support, Lexi was frequently scrambling to make ends meet. A career with a more lucrative pay scale would have been appreciated. But Lexi had gotten pregnant in high school and then again a couple of years later. She'd married in her late 20s and had her 3rd child by her now ex-husband. People made interesting choices, Stacy thought. Some made sense, while others simply confused her. She was never sure how much of that was her inability to relate to them versus the decision not making sense in the first place. How was your Easter? Lexi asked, as she took a seat across from Stacy's desk. Very nice. Harper prepared a wonderful meal. I brought plenty of leftovers for lunch, if you'd care for some. Lexi closed her eyes and moaned. You know I love your sister's cooking. What that woman does with brownies should be illegal. Lexi's interest in food greatly contributed to her weight problem. Stacy had tried to explain that she should think of food as fuel, like gas for a car. Perhaps that would allow her to lose weight. Lexi had told Stacy that while she was the best boss ever, she wasn't allowed to comment on her personal appearance, and if she did it again, Lexi would write her up. It had been the only moment of tension in their otherwise successful working relationship. Stacy honestly hadn't understood what she'd done wrong. Kit had tried to explain that Lexi probably knew she had a weight problem and wasn't looking for Stacy to try to solve it, which made absolutely no sense. Not only were there health risks, but Lexi was always complaining about being tired and that she couldn't buy cute clothes. Simply eating less would make it all go away. But Stacy appreciated Lexi and wanted to keep her happy, so she had vowed not to say anything ever again. She'd brought in brownies Harper had made as a peace offering, and all had been well. Lexi opened her eyes. Did you tell her? No need to ask tell who what. Lexi had known about the pregnancy since Stacy had had her first ultrasound. She wanted to pretend confusion as to why it had been so easy to tell Harper and Lexi about the baby, yet so hard to tell her mother. Only she couldn't. She knew exactly why she didn't want to confess all to Bunny. Maybe it was a bit like Lexi and her addiction to food. Knowing the right thing to do didn't make it any easier to accomplish. We have a new dog. Lexi blinked at her. There's a non sequitur. You have a dog? Stacy explained about Becca and the inherited dogs. We took Bay. She's beautiful and so well trained. With all the confusion, it didn't seem like a good time to tell my mother about the baby. I'm sure someone believes that, but it wouldn't be me. You are lucky you're tall enough that your pregnancy doesn't show, or she would have guessed by now anyway. You're going to be one of those annoying women who doesn't look pregnant until the last 3 days. She folded her arms across her chest. Stacy, you know it's only going to get harder to tell her the longer you wait, right? Stacy nodded, although she couldn't imagine it being any more difficult than it was right now. You also have to let Carl know, Lexi added. I've told HR, Stacy said defensively. She'd already filled out all the required paperwork and requested her leave. The chain of command had been alerted, which was not, she admitted to herself, the same as telling the head of her department. Carl wasn't exactly her boss. Stacy had autonomy in her department. As long as her team produced results, she was left to her own devices. Still, Carl was the closest thing to a manager she had. And at some point, he needed to know. Just not right now. Did I mention Bay is pregnant? Lexi's eyes widened. Your new dog is pregnant? Yes, significantly so. I'm going to make an appointment to take her to the vet to get her checked out. She frowned. Thor's been neutered, so he can't be the father. I wonder who it was. Regardless, we'll have puppies soon. You're pregnant. You haven't told your mom or Carl, but you now have a dog who's going to have puppies? Lexi's voice was filled with incredulity and shock, which didn't make any sense. Why are you saying it like that? What does one have to do with the other? You're going to have a baby, Lexi said forcefully. Your life is going to change in ways you can't begin to understand. The last thing you need is puppies in the house. Stacy disagreed. Puppies were exactly what she needed. Being around Bay would allow her to observe motherhood in a safe and non-judgmental environment. She planned to learn from the dog and use those lessons to help herself feel more connected to her own child. I think Bay and her puppies will be good for me, she said. You're the boss. Lexi stood. I'm going to finish proofing your article, then email it back to you. In the meantime, if you have any questions, remember I've had three. I know it all. Thank you. Stacy planned to call on her assistant when the time came. It would be good to have an extra resource for those questions she couldn't ask her mother or sister. Too much of the literature she'd read mentioned hormones and instinct kicking in when the baby was born. While Stacy appreciated the power of innate intelligence, she was concerned she was somehow lacking vital pieces, especially when it came to being a mother. She'd never been normal before. Why would that change now? Becca walked slowly up the front steps to Mischief Bay High School, when what she wanted to do was run or skip or even dance. Spring break was over. Finally. She glanced around, wondering if anyone else was thinking the same thing, then sighed. Of course they weren't. Everyone else had gone away for spring break or had fun with their friends. Everyone else had plans. She'd been the only one counting the days until she could get back to something close to a life. She sat on the stone bench to the side of the huge open double doors and faked looking for something in her backpack. She needed a second to remember how to pretend all the things she was supposed to pretend. that she didn't miss Kaylee every second of every day. Her best friend had moved to Boston at the end of last summer. After swearing she would never have another friend as amazing as Becca, after crying for weeks about how she would never fit in, Kaylee had settled into life in Boston easily and happily. Between Instagram and Snapchat, Becca had a clear idea of exactly how perfect Kaylee's new life was. She even had a boyfriend. Just like Jordan, Becca's second best friend. Becca, on the other hand, hadn't even been kissed. Not unless you counted a couple of stupid birthday parties with kissing games, which she didn't. She knew it was wrong to be jealous of Kaylee learning to sail and dating the younger brother of a naval cadet, and in a way, she wasn't. She wanted Kaylee to be happy. It was just she also wanted to be missed as much as she was missing her friend. But the texts were getting less frequent and less personal. These days, it seemed as if Kaylee was texting her grandmother rather than her friend. As for Jordan, Becca shook her head. She had no idea what to do there. Jordan and her family had gone to Mexico for spring break. Back in November, Jordan had begged Becca to go with her. If she didn't have her best friend along, she would die. Then, over Christmas, Jordan and Nathan had started dating, and in the end, Jordan had taken Nathan instead. There were other friends. She was part of a group, just like pretty much every other girl in high school. But those were just regular friends. Becca had never been good at being close with a crowd. She preferred one or two people in her life, which made her weird, and left her sitting alone on the stupid bench, freakishly excited about school starting in 20 minutes. She looked around at everyone talking about their vacations, listened to the laughing and teasing, and felt sad. No, she thought, not sad exactly. Small. She was so small and everyone else was big, and sometimes she felt as if she were getting smaller and smaller, and one day she would just disappear. Her phone chirped. "Where are you? OMG, I need to see you now." Becca smiled as Jordan's drama played out in text, even as she heard her friend's voice in her head. "Moon you up," she texted back, abbreviating, "meet you in our usual place." She started toward the science building, where she and Jordan would meet up in the girls' bathroom. No one hung out here before school started, which meant the bathrooms were usually empty, allowing plenty of privacy for whatever revelation Jordan might want to share. Becca wanted to hear all about her friend's vacation. Jordan had been oddly quiet during her trip, only posting a handful of Snapchat videos and 3 Instagram pics. Once Jordan was finished, because Jordan always had to go first, Becca wanted to talk about her new dog and her dad and his upcoming wedding that her mom still knew nothing about. And the car. At some point, Becca was going to have to come clean about the car. She wondered how her mom would react when she found out her ex-husband was getting married. Would she be mad or would she cry? Becca didn't know what she was supposed to say. She wasn't happy about it either. Her dad already pretty much ignored her. He'd promised to take her driving over spring break, and that had never happened. Not even on the long drive to Grass Valley. She needed her 50 supervised hours. Her mom always said she was too busy. And now her dad kept flaking out on her. She ran up the steps to the science building, pushed open the door, and turned into the girls' bathroom. Jordan was already there, texting. She smiled when she saw Becca. "Finally! My God, I've been waiting and waiting! Where were you?" Becca automatically started checking stalls to make sure they were alone. Jordan shook her head. "I did that already. You'll never guess. Try. You won't, but try." Becca looked at her friend. Jordan was one of those people who had been born beautiful. She had dark skin and hair and big brown eyes. She was tall, thin, and always knew what she was supposed to wear. Becca and Kaylee had been friends since kindergarten. It had always been the two of them until junior high when they'd met Jordan. Then it had been the three of them. Kaylee had always been the pretty friend. But when Jordan came along, Kaylee had to give up her crown. As for Becca, well, she was funny and smart, as if that mattered. "How is your vacation?" Becca asked. "Perfect, amazing, life-changing." Jordan spun in a circle, then grinned. "Do I look different? I feel different. More mature, you know?" Becca studied her. Jordan wore skinny jeans and a cute cropped sweater. Her hair was long, hanging down to the middle of her back. She had about a dozen bangles on her wrists, 1 ear cuff, and a tiny diamond nose stud. "You look great," Becca offered. Jordan grabbed her arm and pulled her close. You can't tell anyone. You have to swear.
I never tell. You know that. What? Tell me.
But as she asked, she got a sinking feeling she already knew. Jordan released her, then sucked in a breath.
Nathan and I had sex. Not just fooling around. We did it. All the way.
She paused. He actually put it in. Becca didn't know what to say. Sure, she'd known this could happen eventually. Jordan and Nathan had been together for a while now, and they had other friends who were hooking up, but still. Sex? Yet one more way Becca was being left behind. She felt stupid and ugly and unwanted, like aliens had come to school and abducted everyone but her because why would she be interesting to experiment on? Jordan looked expectant. Becca tried to think of the right question. She and Jordan had talked about what it would be like to do that, of course, more since Jordan and Nathan got serious. But to have done it? What was it like? Where did you do it? Did your parents know?
Jordan exhaled slowly, then smiled. It was nice. I liked it better when we were just, you know, fooling around. But it was good, too. I feel so different.
She looked at herself in the mirror. I keep waiting for my mom to figure it out, but that would mean she noticed I was alive.
Jordan rolled her eyes. You know how she is.
Jordan's mother was a successful lawyer and her dad was a judge. They both adored and ignored their only daughter.
Anyway, on Tuesday night, Nathan sneaked into my room. We were fooling around, and then he got really serious.
Jordan's eyes filled with tears.
He said he loved me, and I said I loved him, and then it just happened.
How did something like that just happen?
Did it hurt?
Yes, but not for long.
He was so sweet. He stayed the night.
Jordan turned back to her.
I hope you find somebody, Becca. A good guy who wants to have sex with you.
Because the only ones lining up were bad guys?
Jordan smiled at her. I want you to know that I'm still going to be friends with you. That you matter to me. Even though we're in different places in our lives now.
The smile gentled and became annoying like a mom's.
You'll catch up eventually.
Jordan glanced at her phone. Okay, we have a few minutes and I know you want all the details. Some are kind of personal, but still... Irritation flared. I had a spring break too, Jordan. It wouldn't kill you to ask about it.
All you did was stay home.
Jordan sighed.
Don't be jealous, Becca. I'm not going to be sorry that I have Nathan and you don't have anybody. You're my best friend and he's my boyfriend. You're going to have to find a way to get along.
Why do I have to get along with him? Why doesn't he have to get along with me?
Becca shook her head. And that's not the point. Nathan and I are fine together. This isn't even about that.
You're not making any sense. Are you mad at me because everything is so great for me?
No, of course not. I'm sorry.
The words were automatic. Then annoying. Becca couldn't figure out what she was thinking or why she was apologizing. Why did Jordan get to be so selfish and Becca was the bad guy?
What was going on with everyone?
She picked up her backpack.
We should go. It's time for class.
Jordan walked to the door, then glanced back at her.
I wish you could trust me not to leave you behind, Becca.
Becca thought longingly of the instruction book Great Aunt Cheryl had left her. Maybe there was a command that would make Jazz bite Jordan.
Not hard.
Just enough to have her friend realize she was being the biggest bitch on the planet.
Chapter 5
Harper couldn't shake the feeling of being watched, probably because she was. Even though Thor and Jazz were lying down on huge beds that nearly filled her tiny office, their eyes were open and firmly fixed on her, as if waiting for something. She supposed some of her unease came from the fact that they were huge, muscular dogs trained to do God knew what. For all she knew, they were assessing her, and if she showed weakness, they would simply kill her and hide the body. Then pretend nothing had happened.
I can't believe I'm dog-sitting, she muttered, as she moved the picture around on her computer screen.
She had a one-off job to provide online content for a new boutique by the boardwalk. The owner had called in a panic after realizing that just because her 12-year-old could design a slick website, he wasn't necessarily prepared to develop content. Harper was hoping the owner would be happy enough to keep her on to-do monthly updates. She forced herself to concentrate, despite the sense of foreboding the two dogs engendered. She'd been expecting to have to deal with Jazz, but then Lucas had told her he was adding dog-sitting to her duties. She would have refused, only she not only needed the money. Jazz ate more than the average grizzly, and the food Great Aunt Cheryl recommended cost as much as dinner for five at a decent restaurant. But she thought the two dogs might keep each other company, thereby freeing her from having to entertain Jazz. She settled on a location for the pictures, cut and pasted the text, then studied the effect of the page. She'd added a section for featured clothes, and had made the Style of the Week section bigger. 15 minutes of brainstorming over coffee had given her a list of suggestions she planned to share with the owner. One of them, a Shop Your Closet feature, could give clients a reason to either come to the website or read the newsletter without feeling they were being sold to at every turn. She got up to pour herself more coffee. Both Jazz and Thor raised their heads to watch her. She couldn't tell if they were curious, still confused about their new location, or assessing her viability. She paused to lightly pet each of them before going into the kitchen. Clicking nails told her she was not alone. So far, the dogs had followed her from room to room, including trying to get into the bathroom with her. She'd insisted they wait in the hall, telling them that she wouldn't watch them go, and in return, they couldn't watch her. Now she poured her coffee, then turned and saw they were both standing there, staring. "I know you want something. I just have no idea what," she admitted. "Do you want to go out?" They both glanced at the back door, then at her. She sighed. She'd been very clear with Great Aunt Cheryl. The last thing Harper wanted was one more life form to take care of. She had enough on her plate. But had the woman listened? Okay, sure, technically, but not really. At the end of the day, Harper was still going to be a pet parent, whether she liked it or not. Becca had taken care of Jazz over the weekend, but the dog was still new to her. How long until her daughter was too busy or wasn't home to handle things? Harper's cell rang. She pushed the button on her Bluetooth headset. "This is Harper." "Harper, it's Kathy. Do you have a sec?" "Sure." She carried her coffee back to her office, then quickly found Kathy's file. The event planner used Harper to fill in when she needed an extra pair of creative hands. Harper could address 200 envelopes in decorative calligraphy, or paint a pin the tail on the elephant poster, or make custom napkin rings for a high-end dinner party. "Okay, I've talked to my clients, the ones hosting a 50th anniversary party for the parents. They've chosen the gift bag they want." "Great." Harper sorted through the pictures she'd taken and slipped into the file. Next to each were the supplies needed, along with what they would cost and how long it took to assemble each bag. She'd created 3 custom gift bags. Not what went in them, just the bags themselves. Kathy had wanted them to be special, so they were all unique and not easy to put together. "I have my information right here," Harper said. "They've picked number 3. Now, you said it was going to be $20 a bag, but we both know that's ridiculous. I told them I could get it for $5. I hope you're okay with that." Harper stared at the picture, then scanned her notes. The bag was rose gold with a raffia handle. She'd applied delicate printed paper from France to the front of the bag, then edged it in tiny beads. After making by hand a flower done in shades of gold, she'd stenciled on the couple's name and the date of their wedding, 50 years ago. The price she'd quoted wasn't just all the paper and trim. It was the time. Her heart sank. Kathy frequently tried to undercut Harper's prices, and most of the time Harper went along with it. But there was no way she could do the bag for that. "The supplies cost more than $5, Harper said, trying to sound firm. "It will take me 30 minutes to complete each one." "Can't you work faster? My God, it's a gift bag. Seriously, Harper, no one is going to pay $20 for that." "Then they should pick one of the other ones." "They want the one they want." Harper's stomach tightened. Irritation mingled with fear. She needed the work, but refused to take a loss. "The paper is imported. There are multiple layers. If you want something unique and handmade, that is the cost. I'm sorry, but my price is firm." "I'm sorry, too. I hate to lose you as a resource, but if you're not going to work with me, then I don't know if we can keep doing business together." The threat was like a kick to the stomach. Harper didn't think she made any noise. But suddenly Jazz and Thor were both standing next to her, looking intent. Thor glanced toward the doorway and growled low in his throat. She couldn't remember the last time anyone had stood up for her like that. The unexpected support brought tears to her eyes, which was completely insane. She swallowed and petted both of them before clearing her throat. For a second, she wondered if she could somehow buy the supplies cheaper, maybe on eBay. No, she told herself. There was no time to search them out. I'm sorry, Kathy. That's my price.
Then goodbye.
The other woman hung up. Harper did her best to ignore the knot in her stomach. She drew in a breath. I might have just lost a client. No problem for you, Thor. Your owner has plenty of money. She wasn't exactly sure how Lucas had so much cash to throw around. He drove a very expensive two-seater Mercedes convertible, and she didn't think detectives made that much. Still, she wasn't going to ask too many questions. He paid his monthly bill the same day he received it. She knew because she paid his bills for him, and why, yes, she did pay herself first. It was one of the very few perks of her work. She returned her attention to the boutique website and continued to add pictures and text until she was happy with the layout. She saved everything, then sent a note and the link to the owner, asking for feedback. That's done, she told the dogs, who were still watching her. She swiveled in her chair to face them. This would be a lot easier if you just tell me what you need. Before they could answer, her phone rang again. This is Harper.
It's Kathy. You're being ridiculous, so you know, but you do good work, and I want to see if we can find a point of compromise.
Oh, about $10 a bag, and I'll need them in 3 days. Harper held in a groan. There were 40 bags at about 30 minutes each. Plus, she had to go to 3 different stores to buy the supplies. That was 20 hours of work, plus all the running around, for a grand total of $400. She didn't dare do the math to figure out the pitiful sum she would be making by the hour. But if she stayed up most of tonight and tomorrow night, she could meet the deadline.
Harper?
Fine. $10 a bag.
Great. I'll let them know and I'll be by Thursday morning to pick them up.
You're the best, Harper. Thanks. Kathy hung up before Harper could say anything. Harper returned her attention to the dogs. I know what you're thinking, she muttered. I'm letting her take advantage of me. That I'm probably making $2 an hour on this job. Well, it's not this job, is it? It's all the other work she brings me.
Jazz's steady gaze never wavered.
Harper sighed. You're right. I let her take advantage of me, and that doesn't make any sense. I should be firm. I should tell her my price and stick to it. I'm training her to always undercut me. I get that.
She was sure the dog had more to say, but before they could continue the conversation, the doorbell rang. Thor and Jazz immediately rose. Jazz looked at Thor, who gave a low warning bark.
Yes, Harper said, pushing past them. I heard it too, but thanks for mentioning it.
The dogs kept pace with her, but didn't walk ahead of her or run. When they reached the front door, they both sat and waited.
I really need to read that instruction book Becca got, Harper told them as she opened the door. Yes? Can I help you?
A tall, gangly 20-something guy stood on her porch. He was blonde and wore board shorts, a T-shirt, and athletic shoes. The T-shirt had a drawing of a cartoon version of him on it, along with a phrase, leader of the pack.
Harper Szymanski? The guy asked.
Yes?
I'm Dwayne. I'm here to walk your dogs.
He pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket and glanced at it.
Thor and Jazz. It's a daily service, which means Monday through Friday. I drive them to the beach and we walk along the boardwalk. It'll take about 90 minutes.
Dwayne flashed her a smile.
Your husband paid for the top dog package. He must really like your dogs.
Harper didn't know what to say beyond, he's not my husband. Because there was only one person who would have thought to arrange a dog walking service. She would guess Lucas had done it for Thor, then added on Jazz. Damn the man for being thoughtful, good-looking, and only interested in gorgeous bubbleheads in their 20s.
She held open the door for Dwayne to come inside. He saw Thor and Jazz and grinned.
Oh, wow. Dobies. You guys are beautiful.
He held out his hand so they could sniff his fingers. Then he squatted in front of them and said,
Shake.
They both obliged.
Lucas said you two were the bomb. He's right. Super great manners.
He stood and looked at her.
I need their leashes.
Harper got them from the bottom drawer in the table by the front door. She handed over a new roll of poop bags, hoping the dogs would do their thing somewhere other than her backyard.
Thanks,
Duane said, snapping on the leashes.
We'll be back in an hour and a half. Do you want me to run them?
That would be great.
Right. A tired dog is a happy dog. See ya.
He looked at the dogs.
Thor, Jazz, heel.
The dogs stood and moved to his left side, Jazz taking the inside position. Duane walked them down the steps and out to his battered pickup. It was only after he'd driven away that Harper realized she probably should have checked with Lucas first, just in case. She quickly texted him, not sure when she would hear a response. Sometimes he was available, but a lot of the time his phone was off. She supposed that came from being on the job catching bad guys, or whatever it was he did in his day. This time he answered her in a matter of seconds.
Are you concerned that someone cooked up an elaborate scheme to steal the dogs by pretending to be a dog walker?
Her lips twitched as she realized he kind of had a point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Thank you for including Jazz on the walk. I'm sure she'll appreciate it. I know I do.
Happy to help. You can deal with your guilt by baking me something.
You know I will.
That I do.
She was still smiling as she walked into her pantry and studied the shelf that held her baking supplies. Not cookies, she thought. They were too ordinary. Tarts. She would bake Lucas chocolate tarts. But first, she would go get the supplies she needed for the gift bags, then drop off the T-shirts she was shipping to her comedian client, Misty, then swing by the post office to mail Lucas's bills. Then she would bake tarts, and tonight, while the world slept, she would make gift bags and curse her inability to stand up for herself when she knew she absolutely should. Becca sat on the front porch step, her arm around Jazz. The dog was leaning heavily on her, her body providing comforting warmth. Are you still confused? Becca asked the dog. It's been a few days now and we have a routine. I'm sorry I have to be gone for school, but you have Thor, right? I could talk to Aunt Stacy about they. Maybe you three could have a playdate. Jazz stretched out on the porch and rested her head on her paws. But even as she shifted positions, she still stayed close. Becca kept her arm around the dog, figuring they both needed the comfort. Jazz wasn't the only one confused. Becca was starting to think she would never know everything going on, even in her own life. She missed Kaylee so much, more so now that Jordan had gone totally drama queen about Nathan. Kaylee would have called her on her crap and told her to stop talking about herself. Kaylee would have made a joke and smiled at Becca and talked about Jazz because that was what Kaylee had always done. She'd been a buffer against darker forces. But there wasn't anything between Becca and Jordan, so Becca spent her day hearing about how amazing Nathan was and how he loved Jordan so much. Theirs was the greatest love ever, and boyfriendless Becca couldn't possibly understand. Worse, Jordan chided her about being bitter and angry, which wasn't true. Okay, not the bitter part. She didn't care that Jordan had Nathan, but she was starting to get pissed about her friend's attitude. They would never act like that to you, Becca told the dog. You have better taste in friends. For a second, she wished she could talk to her mom and tell her what was happening. Her mom could be dorky, but sometimes she had really good advice. Even if she didn't, she used to always make Becca feel better. They would bake something or do a craft project. Not anymore, she thought grimly. Even if she was willing to do something so childish, her mom wasn't available. She was always too busy with her VA business. Becca leaned over and kissed the top of Jazz's head, then straightened. She was about to pull out her phone and check the time when it buzzed with a text. She looked at the screen, then caught her breath when she read the message.
I'm tied up at work, kiddo. Sorry. Let's reschedule for some time next week.
Tears burned in her eyes. Becca blinked them away, telling herself to get over it. She knew she couldn't depend on her dad, and she was stupid if she thought he would ever change. He always had something else he had to be doing. As for getting tied up at work, that was a complete lie. He was a podiatrist, which meant scheduled appointments. He wasn't a real doctor who had actual emergencies. She shoved her phone back in her pocket and wiped her cheeks, just in case. Before she could scramble to her feet and escape to her room, Lucas pulled up and parked in front of her house. He walked up the path and sat next to Jazz on the stairs, then patted the dog and smiled at her.
Hey, kid.
His words were way too close to what her dad called her. I have a name, she snapped.
Yes, you do.
She waited for him to call her on her attitude, but instead he asked,
What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm fine. You're here early.
Yeah, I was in court for most of the day. It's boring, but it's a shorter day. You didn't answer my question.
I said nothing was wrong.
You also lied. What is it?
She stared at the top of Jazz's head. It's just... She swallowed against the tightness in her throat. My dad blew me off again. I need 50 supervised hours to get my license. Mom's too busy and my dad swore he would help, but he never shows up. She rolled her eyes. He said he was stuck at work. With what? An ingrown toenail? He doesn't care about me anymore. I don't think he ever did. He just walked out like I didn't matter, and now he won't teach me to drive. It was so much more than she'd wanted to say, but there was no way to call back the words. She folded her arms across her chest and did her best to hold in the pain.
Interesting, Lucas said casually. It's a drag about your dad, but there's time. It's not like you need your license right away.
She rocked forward and dropped her gaze to her kids. Yeah, well, Great Aunt Cheryl didn't just leave me the dogs. There's a car. She glanced at him and started talking quickly. It's a really good car. Ramon, her boyfriend, said it was in great condition and they'd always taken care of it. It's safe and has airbags. And it's not like my dad's going to buy me a car and Mom sure can't afford it. She sucked in a breath. I don't think Dad remembered to tell Mom because he was sick, and she hasn't said anything. The car is paid for. I know there's going to be insurance and gas and stuff, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. But right now I need my license. Lucas nodded his head.
That's a lot.
I know, right? He stood and called to Jazz, sent the dog in the house, then looked at Becca.
Okay, let's go.
Where are we going?
To practice your driving.
My mom's not here.
I'm not taking you on the freeway, kid. I'm taking you to an empty parking lot to see what you know how to do and how we get along. If it goes well, I'll talk to your mom when we get back.
She stared at him. Then what am I going to... She spun to face the sleek, white Mercedes convertible. She didn't know much about cars, but she knew that one cost a lot. Maybe as much as their house. No way, he shrugged.
It's insured. You'll be fine. Do you have your temporary license?
Let me get it. She raced inside and dug her wristlet out of her backpack, then hurried back outside. Lucas stood by his car, the driver's door open.
The car's not going to drive itself. He called.
Excitement and hope fluttered in her stomach. If Lucas would really help her get her hours, then she wouldn't have to depend on her dad or bug her mom. She vowed to do the best she could on their mini-lesson so he would want to teach her more. She joined him and got in the driver's side. He sat next to her and explained how to set the seat and the mirrors.
The car sits really low to the ground, he told her. It's going to feel different than your mom's SUV or your dad's sedan. Also, it has a more powerful engine, so be careful when you hit the gas.
She nodded, then wiped her suddenly damp palms on her jeans.
Drive to the high school. Classes are out, and there will be plenty of room to practice in the parking lot.
He winked.
Okay, start her up.
She absolutely could not believe he was going to let her drive his car. Her mother had practically had a seizure the only time they'd practiced together. She pushed the start button, then tried not to jump as the engine roared to life. She kept her foot on the brake as she shifted to drive, then checked the mirrors 4 times before slowly pulling out onto the quiet street. Mischief Bay High School was less than a mile away, but it took Becca nearly 10 minutes to drive there. She stayed well under the 25-mile-per-hour speed limit and came to a full, lingering stop at every sign. By the time she pulled into the parking lot, she felt a little sick to her stomach. I don't know if I can do this, she admitted.
Are you scared about driving or the car?
Lucas asked. Both.
Driving gets easier with practice. Right now you have to think about everything you're doing. Once a few things become automatic, you'll be more comfortable. As for my car, like I said, it's insured. Okay, let's start with the basics. Drive to the end of the parking lot, do a 3-point turn, drive back and pull into that parking space.
Becca tasted bile. That's your idea of the basics?
He flashed her a grin. I've seen Clueless, kid. At least we're not going on the freeway.
I'm never going on the freeway. 30 minutes later, Becca confidently circled the parking lot, making neat figure eights. She made a sharp turn 10 feet in front of the flagpole and carefully backed into a parking space before turning to Lucas and laughing. I did it!
You did good. I'm impressed.
Thanks. This car is great. It drives so easily, and I'm in love with the backup camera. Thank you for helping me. I really had fun.
Me too. Want to continue with the lessons?
Of course. Lucas had been calm the whole time. When she'd messed up, he'd had her stop so they could talk about what had gone wrong. She was still nervous about driving, but less so than she had been.
I'll talk to your mom,
he said.
If she agrees, then we'll keep going. Oh, how are your grades?
Becca felt herself flush. They're, okay. He looked at her without speaking. She ducked her head. I'm getting a couple of C's and a few B's.
I thought you were a good student.
I am. Or she had been. Lately, she hadn't been that interested in school. What was the point? No one paid attention or cared how she was doing.
I know you're smart, Lucas told her. Something's going on. If you want me to help you get your driving hours, you're going to have to get your grades where they should be. A car is a lot of responsibility. If you can't be bothered to take care of business at school, then you can't be trusted with a car.
No one had talked to her like that in forever. Becca was both thrilled and annoyed, which felt really good. You're not the boss of me, she said automatically.
In this case, I am. It's my time, so it's my rules. If you want my help, then you will get B's or better in all your classes.
No problem.
I want proof.
What? You don't trust me?
There's an old saying, trust but verify. From now until you get your license, you will show me all your test scores. Understood?
Yes, I promise.
Good. Now let's go home.
Becca made the return trip in half the time. She stayed at the speed limit, stopped at the stop signs for a quick count of 1, 2, then pulled up in front of her house, just as her mom drove into the driveway. They all got out at the same time. Harper turned toward them, then nearly dropped her purse. What are you doing? Did you drive that car? You didn't. Oh, my God. Becca, no! Do you know what a car like that costs? Lucas, I swear, what were you thinking? No one asked me. Where's your father? Weren't you supposed to be practicing with him? I feel sick. Lucas shook his head.
She gets real wound up.
She does. I worry about her.
You should.
Lucas walked toward the SUV.
It's fine, Harper. Terrence couldn't make it, so I took Becca out for a practice session. Everything was fine, and if it's all right with you, I'm going to help her get in her practice hours.
Not in that car. There is absolutely no way.
I have insurance.
And a deductible. She started to say something else, but her phone rang. She touched her Bluetooth earpiece and said brightly, "This is Harper." Becca sighed. There was no talking to her mother now. Not when she was on with a client. And she was always on with a client. Chapter 6 Harper poured another cup of coffee. It was only 7 in the morning, and she was already exhausted. Of course, a lot of that could be because she hadn't slept much the previous night. She'd been up finishing the gift bags. Honest to God, she needed to grow a pair and stand up to that woman. Mom, we have to talk about my driving lessons. Harper drank more coffee as she turned to look at her daughter. Becca sat at the table, a faithful Jazz at her side. The dog had sure figured out who loved her the most. If Becca was home, Jazz was right there with her. Driving? How was that possible? Becca was supposed to still be 7, only she wasn't. She was turning 17 in the summer and talking about college. Harper swore silently. Her daughter was going to be heading off to college in less than 18 months. And she was making what? $2 an hour on stupid gift bags? The weight of failure threatened to make her topple over. It wasn't supposed to be like this. She was supposed to have it all together. Had going into business for herself been a mistake? She didn't think so, but if it wasn't the job, then she was the problem, and she sure didn't want to hear that.
Mom? Harper did her best to keep her tone even. I know we do, honey. And we will. This weekend, okay? We'll sit down and come up with a plan. Her daughter sighed. Sure. What does that mean? You always say we'll talk about something, but then we never do. You're too busy with work. Harper didn't like the sound of that. I don't. We will talk this weekend. You'll see. Before she could think of a more convincing argument, the back door opened and Bunny walked in. Her hair was perfectly styled, her makeup in place, and her clothes looked freshly laundered. Harper was instantly aware of the fact that she hadn't showered in maybe 2 days, and she couldn't remember the last time she'd put on makeup. She'd always worn her wavy hair in layers, but who had the time or money for that kind of maintenance? Lately, she'd taken to simply pulling her hair back in a ponytail, which looked great on her beautiful sister, but made her look like what she was, a woman of a certain age who had obviously given up. "Morning," she said as cheerfully as she could.
"Morning."
Her mother smiled at Becca, then frowned. "What are you eating?"
"Cereal."
Harper reached for more coffee.
"Cereal?"
Bunny shrieked. "Where's your hot breakfast?" She turned to her daughter. "Harper Ray Zemanski, what is wrong with you? Your only child deserves a hot breakfast. As her mother, it's the least you can do."
"Grandma, cereal is fine. It's a nice change."
Bunny ignored that. "What's next? Store-bought cookies? Fast food for dinner? Taking care of your family is your most important job."
"You're right, Mom,"
Harper snapped. "Right now, that means keeping food on the table. To pay for that, I have to work. So forgive me if I don't have time to make waffles from scratch every single morning."
"I always found the time."
"You didn't have a job." Becca quickly finished her cereal, then put the bowl on the floor for Jazz to lap up the milk. When the dog was done, she set the bowl in the sink and escaped. Harper wished she could run off with her.
"I didn't have a job because I managed to keep my husband happy," Bunny said in a huff. "Perhaps if you'd treated Terrence a little better, he wouldn't have left."
The low blow connected right in her stomach.
"Mom, you don't know anything about what went wrong in my marriage. It's my business, and you don't have the right to judge me."
"I'm not. I'm simply pointing out that if you..." Harper's cell phone rang. She grabbed it gratefully.
"Mom, this is a client."
"But it's barely 7.
"Yes, I know."
She pushed the button to accept the call. "This is Harper."
"It's Kathy. How are the bags coming?"
"They'll be ready on time." No way Harper was going to tell her they were already finished. Kathy would assume Harper had been exaggerating the time needed. Explaining she'd literally stayed up all night to finish them wouldn't help either.
"I'm glad to hear that. I have another job for you."
"I was talking to you," Bunny said between clenched teeth. "Tell her you'll call her back."
Harper turned her back on her mother, something she knew she was going to pay for. And speaking of paying, "Kathy, I'm happy to talk to you about more work, but I want to be clear. My rate is $25 an hour, plus the cost of supplies. That is the price."
"That's ridiculous. My clients aren't going to pay that."
"Then I'm sorry, but I can't help you."
"But you've always been willing to drop your price for me."
Her voice became softer.
"Harper, I know you need the work. I'm doing you a favor."
"What I need are jobs that pay me a reasonable amount. It's your call, Kathy. I won't be negotiating any more discounts."
"That is totally unacceptable. Goodbye, Harper."
The phone went dead. Harper turned back to her mother. Bunny raised her eyebrows.
"With an attitude like that, it's surprising you have any clients. $25 an hour for what you do?
That's ridiculous."
"Thanks for the support, Mom."
"What?
I'm being honest."
"Right now, I would rather you weren't. That's me being honest." Before she could say any more, she heard a quick knock on the front door, then Thor raced into the house, followed by Lucas calling out,
"It's me."
The 110-pound dog bounced up to Harper and woofed. Jazz joined him, and they greeted each other with a quick sniff, before tearing off into the living room. Lucas appeared with Persimmon at his side.
"Good morning," the young woman said, sounding way too cheerful.
Thor and Jazz are so sweet together. Hi, Harper. Hi, Bunny.
The gorgeous redhead wore a cute little dress and heels, which only made Harper feel even more frumpy and tired. Lucas walked over to the coffee pot and poured himself a mug.
How's it going? He asked.
You don't want to know. There's no hot breakfast, Bunny announced. Harper has more important things to do with her time. She looked at Lucas.
Would you like me to make you an omelette?
I'm sure there's something in the refrigerator, unless my daughter has stopped going to the grocery store.
Lucas shot Harper a look. She wasn't sure if it was questioning, filled with pity, or both. Regardless, she waved him toward the table, figuring Persimmon would join him. While Bunny was distracted, Harper escaped to her small office. She would hide out there until everyone was gone. Maybe then she could get a couple of hours of sleep. Her phone rang again. She put in her earpiece, then hit the button.
This is Harper. It's Misty. Is it too early? I'm sorry to be calling, but I had to tell you.
Her comedian client sounded breathless, but in a happy way. It's not too early. What's up?
You aren't going to believe it.
I don't believe it. Oh, Harper, I'm going to be on an HBO special. It's called Rising Stars or something like that. I can't remember because I'm still in shock. It's taping in a few weeks and then I'm going on tour.
Misty, that's so fabulous. Congratulations. You've worked hard for this big break. How can I help?
I want new T-shirts. Something fun. Oh, and let's be wild and get the ones that are the nicer material.
Harper was already taking notes. I'll call the vendor as soon as we hang up and have her rush us samples. How many do you think you want?
Because there were price breaks at different levels.
Let me think about that and get back to you. Once the special airs, I should be able to sell more.
Oh, and I need to get you the tour info so you can ship me the T-shirts as I go.
And care packages?
Harper asked. Please. They save me.
When Misty went on the road, she was gone for several weeks at a time. Harper shipped her snacks and toiletries so Misty didn't have to worry about any of that. She also shipped T-shirts to each hotel, saving Misty from having to haul them from town to town. Harper continued to make notes.
I'm so happy for you. This is the best news I've had all week.
I'm so excited. Thanks, Harper. I can relax knowing you're going to handle things for me.
Absolutely. My job is to make your life easier.
Which was true.
Now if only someone would do that for her.
Stacy came to a stop at the corner. Bay did the same, then sat down, her shoulders and right ear lined up with Stacy's leg.
Good girl, Stacy told the dog, then lightly petted her head. The instruction manual that had accompanied the dog had been impressive, as was the list of commands Bay had mastered. There were the usual come, sit, along with some interesting specialized commands. Bay could distinguish between different types of weapons and toxic gases. She was also comfortable working aboard a ship. Stacy didn't know if that meant cargo or military. The notes had ended mid-sentence, as if the remaining information had simply been ripped away. No doubt it was classified, Stacy thought as they crossed the street. They had settled easily into their home. She ate well and was perfectly friendly. Whatever training she'd been given was more about purpose than affecting her personality. Not that Stacy was surprised. She'd only met Great Aunt Cheryl once, but the woman had been the sensible sort, not someone to leave dangerous animals to a 16-year-old. Kit had taken Bay to the vet the previous Monday to confirm her pregnancy and get an approximate due date. The dog had been pronounced healthy. Per the records, Bay had given birth before, so the vet had been confident the dog would know what to do. Her records indicated she was up to date on all her vaccinations. Stacy had already started researching the canine birthing process so she could be ready when the time came. Although it was very likely that Bay would have her puppies while Stacy was at work. Still, being prepared was always preferable. She and Bay reached the corner drugstore that doubled as an Amazon drop box. She loosely tied the dog's leash to the bike rack, then had her sit.
"Bay," she said in a firm voice.
The dog immediately met her gaze.
"Bay, stay."
She paused.
"No strangers."
The dog's nostrils flared slightly, but otherwise she didn't move. According to the book, Bay would stay where she was told for at least 2 days. None of the dogs had been tested beyond that. In addition, the no strangers command meant she wouldn't leave with anyone else. Should someone try,
they would immediately start barking to alert Stacy. "I won't be very long," she added. "Not sure, babe."